It's Thursday, September 4th, currently nighttime on the West Coast, especially the East Coast, and the Seahawks have just beaten the Oakland Raiders 31-21 in their fourth and final preseason game. This is Real in the Field Goals instant reaction post. We're going to have these after every game, just talking our instant thoughts on the game, what happened, and what to look forward to. And as always, brought to you by the Ballard Agency. If you didn't hear in the last episode, I created a jingle and it goes a little something like this. 425-424-3510. I didn't even look at the number. I know it by heart now because of that song. Danny, you're gonna know it pretty soon too.
I can't wait.
Yeah, just remember 425-424-3510 and tell them Field Goal sent you. So this is our instant reaction post. We're gonna, get right off of it. And this game is the game where a couple guys made the team and a couple guys didn't. And we're gonna try and talk about what guys those are. And my instant reaction, Danny, and obviously it's Danny Kelly and Kenneth Arthur. My instant reaction is Thomas Rawls made this team tonight. You know,
Okay.
statistically, you can take it or leave it. You know, he had 11 carries for 87 yards and a touchdown. Great game. But also, I think when you compound the fact that Robert Turbin is hurt and he's going to be out for a little while,
Yeah.
and if they want to sign Fred Jackson no sooner than after week one, then I think they're going to give Thomas Rawls, 1 week to maybe prove that they don't need Fred Jackson. And I think that he played really well tonight. He didn't get like all of his yards on one carry. He was consistently getting good gains on every carry. Also, that touchdown looked pretty good too. What are your thoughts there at the Thomas Rawls and the running back position?
Yeah, I definitely think he looked good. I think he had a couple runs where I was really impressed with his footwork, the quick choppy steps where he would set up a defender with kind of a subtle juke and then kind of blow right by him. So there was definitely some things I liked about it. The other thing that I was thinking about when watching Rawls run was that the offensive line was making some really nice, holes for him to run through. And so that was all really good. I think I was texting with Matt Nichols, a friend of Field Goals. He does the Cigar Thoughts podcast with Jackson. And he was talking about how the Seahawks played their first three games versus 3-4 teams. And generally speaking, it's harder to run against a 3-4. It's harder when you don't game plan. And so the Seahawks were kind of running against that four-man front for Oakland. And I mean, their run game just looked a lot better. So generally speaking, yeah, I think Rawls looked good. I think Chris and Michael looked pretty good as well.
Yeah, he definitely solidified that there's not going to be any surprises there. I think he was always going to make the team, but definitely his best game tonight.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of frustrating things about Michael. He still carries the ball in his right hand when he's running to the left side. He just has like he at times it seems like he'll leave a few yards on the field because he'll start to dance. But I think Rawls did that one time as well. I just think, especially with the Turbin injury going on right now, unless they have like a really good trade option, they're not going to drop Michael. I think it'll probably be that they'll run with five at the position. And I think Rawls looked good. There was a lot of guys actually to like in this game. I think the guys that stood out to me were Kevin Smith and Kaysom Williams, and BJ Daniels for that matter. And it starts to make me wonder a little bit if Ricardo Lockett's spot is safe. And I even start kind of wondering about Chris Matthews. He hasn't really done anything in the preseason.
Yeah, he had
Obviously,
a
he
pretty
missed.
terrible game.
Yeah, I mean, he didn't really do anything that made me kind of think, he's legit in terms of what we saw in the Super Bowl. But then again, it's hard to really judge on the preseason, of course. And so,
But it is easy to judge, Chris Matthews drops a pass, and on the very next play, Kaysom Williams makes a great touchdown catch. So just having those plays back to back, it's not necessarily like they're going to make the decision based on that. But I mean, Kaysom Williams and Chris Matthews, the only thing the advantage that Matthews has is a little bit of experience with the team, just a very little bit, and the size. But they don't really have the luxury of, making decisions other than who are going to be the best receivers on this team that can play right now. So it seems like, that was a thing. Interesting that you'd say Kevin Smith. Not I didn't see much that would stand out on offense necessarily, but the fact that he can return kicks and punts, that probably gives him any versatility is better than none, right?
Right. Yeah, and he had a couple of good catches today that I you know, he, like you said, he kind of coming into this game, I think he'd only had two catches all preseason, but he had two more good ones at least today. I'm trying to think of the other ones that if he had any more, but I remember at least two. And so I think he's looked really good. I think he looks really, really quick. He's way quicker than I thought he was in terms of just his suddenness and explosiveness. I actually think he's better in the open field than BJ Daniels, and just in terms of his jitteriness and explosiveness. And that said, so it looks here, Kevin Smith had four catches for 25 yards. That said, I think BJ Daniels looked really good today too, and kind of showcased why he could be really valuable. He ran the read option a whole bunch of times. And I was talking about this on Twitter a little bit. So he, you know, you could have kind of him as an emergency QB who could come in and have like, you know, 5-10 plays.
Yeah.
Just kind of in the, like put in just in case they need him. And that's kind of like a nice little safety valve.
That would be an emergency though. He's a pretty right. abysmal passer.
No. And I'm not saying I think he should be the main,
but yeah, he has got versatility.
Like, having that ability, if like some freak thing happens, like say Russell Wilson gets injured and you're starting with Tavares Jackson and someone, and then T-Jack gets hurt that week, you know?
Yeah.
So then you have the emergency option. There's always just kind of, you know, worst case scenario thing, but, you know, additionally, sure. He could fill in as a returner. And
I mean, he was really, I mean, he rushed 7 times for 75 yards. It's kind of hard to judge that when you're playing such an unusual, the position in such an unusual way.
Yeah.
And he's going to have an advantage there, and he's going against third string Oakland Raiders. So it's like,
right.
Yeah, that's nothing. But yeah, of course, he's very athletic. That's why he's in the league at all. Because if he wasn't athletic, he's not that great of a receiver. He's not a good quarterback. He's just he can just do a lot of things decently.
Right. And I don't know. So it just kind of comes down to how much do they value versatility versus, I guess, specialization. So because like right now, to me, Ricardo Lockett, like his main value is just as a gunner.
Right.
And, you know, I saw some pretty good work by a couple other guys gunning this, you know, tonight. And so it's like, is that really a role that is that enough of a role to have a roster spot for? Because it looked to me like Kevin Smith and Kaysen Williams are better at receiving the ball, you know?
Yeah. So, that's the thing, you know, like, and what we haven't talked about is, and we don't really have much to talk about because he barely played in the preseason, but you know, if you took Jermaine Kearse out of this unit, and let's just say that you had 6 receivers and you had Doug Baldwin, Tyler Lockett, that's your obvious top 2 options right now. And then after that, if you had Chris Matthews, Kevin Smith, Kaysen Williams, or maybe BJ Daniels instead of Chris Matthews, like, is that really any that much worse than the same switching out Jermaine Kearse for, you know, someone like Kevin Smith? I mean, is that such a big difference that you need to, or do you think that they just need to have him because it's such a weak overall inexperienced unit?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get rid of Kearse, frankly. I think him sitting today kind of spoke to that.
Yeah.
I think he's a lock.
They clearly, they put their, let's just say, they put those receivers to the test today. That second half, it was just throw the ball. Yeah. They, you know, even though they didn't have a quarterback to throw it to them, they got a lot of heat. What is funny is Russell Wilson was 1 for 1 and he led the team in passing yards.
Did they? Oh man.
It was not even close, actually. He was 1 for 1 for 6. Yeah. He had 63 yards. BJ Daniels was 6 of 14 for 45 yards.
Okay. Yeah.
RJ Archer 5 of 10 for 43 yards. But I mean, we didn't talk about Tyler Lockett. This is, you know,
yeah, okay.
We were kind of waiting for that one of those deep seam routes or long passes, and it almost had happened maybe once or twice, and this one, it nailed it. And man, you want to have tempered expectations, but
right.
Tyler Lockett looks like a fucking stud.
Yeah.
And so does Frank Clark. And it just seems like, wow, these two guys to enter this team right now, it's hard not to be excited for what's to come next.
I mean, yeah, you said it. It's like it's preseason, and it's such a cliche at this point because everyone gets so excited about preseason performances. But what you see from these guys is, I mean, it's not like flash in the pan type play. Like Lockett, his returns are legit. Like, he's not even getting good blocking, honestly. You know, because like sometimes it's like you have a guy who just runs straight up the field and like just finds a crease and he's gone. But like he's been having to navigate, you know, blah, blah, blah. And it's like you can see that natural ability. And he had a couple of other receptions too. So,
yeah. And I always felt like when you watched, say, like DeSean Jackson or someone return punts or kicks, and, you know, they do have good ability out there, obviously, but you were just blown away by their speed and that they would get behind guys and it's like, oh, he's gone. But with Lockett, you know, he has speed, but at the same time, that's not what it's about. He's able to, you know, move the river like Moses and make it happen the way that he needs it to happen. And it's just so, his quick decision making is phenomenal. It was like the way that, and you saw that on the Oakland Raiders tonight with Seth Roberts, the young receiver that looks like he'll be the number three, who had 7 catches for 110 yards and looked, you know, it wasn't like, oh yeah, he, you know, the numbers are one thing, but when you actually can show that you have an ability to do something that not other players can do, that's the difference. And it seems like Lockett is one of those guys.
Yeah, I definitely agree. He looks special to me. And, you know, I can't remember a receiver for the Seahawks looking this good in preseason play since Doug Baldwin. So I think there's legit talent. It's a legit, you know, observable traits that you really like. I think it's one of those things that's going to carry over into the year. It's hard to really temper your expectations at this point because he's looked so good. And it's not just, and like I said, it's not just like lucky plays or like they're just feeding him the rock. You know, he's like making huge plays out of his very few opportunities. You know, he's already got 3 touchdowns in the preseason. So,
well, I remember just watching, and speaking of, you know, expectations, I remember we were watching the game and being on Twitter, and people were already tweeting about Frank Clark and being like, man, this guy is good. And then boom, strip sack, fumble recovery, touchdown, Seahawks. Like, Frank Clark, he was my personal pick. And you try to be, you know, unbiased in a way. I think as Seahawks writers, we are less apt to pick Seahawks to win awards or whatever because people will just call us biased. But I think looking at surveying the class of rookie defensive players and just seeing Frank Clark's, you know, his ability to dominate, you know, lesser talent, but even still, like, he's going to go out there and it seems like he'll be able to hold his own against even the best. Mm-hmm. And for that reason, I think he's a very good chance to get defensive rookie of the year.
And I, you know, it's funny because there was an article out on, I think Yahoo today, where an anonymous AFC scout or something was saying he has a chance at the defensive player of the year, rookie defensive player of the year award this year. So it's not just us. It's not just homerism. Yeah. He looks really, really good. It's like kind of like crazy. Like, where the fuck did this guy come from?
it's weird to me too, because it's like, it wasn't as though Frank Clark was a high profile player that was getting the shaft on the draft or whatever. Like, you had Randy Gregory and you had Shane Ray, you know, they had different charges that were much, you know, other people could swallow those charges, you know, much easier. And that's understandable. But those guys were like, oh yeah, these guys are top 5, top 10 picks. And then they fell in the draft for their drug charges or drug tests. Mm-hmm. And then with Clark, you would think that, you know, it would have been like, where's Frank Clark going to go? Where's Frank Clark going to go? And nobody was talking about him whatsoever until the second day of the draft, when people started saying, looks like the Seahawks might draft Frank Clark. And that was the first time that I had ever heard of him. And it's just weird to me that, because when he was drafted, when we were doing the commentary with Rob Staton, he was like, yeah, this guy is basically just as, everything lines up just the same as Dante Fowler Jr., who was the number 3 pick.
Right.
And it looks like Rob was right on the money, because this guy, if they were going to redraft right now and compound that, make him a Saint, you know, if you were going to redraft, it seems like he's in the contention for that top 3 pick.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, the early, like, it's the same as Lockett. It's like you want to kind of temper your expectations, but he looks absolutely dominant. And it's like crazy, because even like top 10 picks, like you're saying, like a lot of top 10 picks don't even like show up until like year 2, you know? Yeah. And so obviously this is the preseason, but just based on the things he's done in the preseason, like, you know, the odds are he's going to be a pretty high impact player this year. And the way the Seahawks use him is going to be really cool, because it's going to be like him and Michael Bennett are kind of doing the same thing where they're moving all around. You know, if he's abusing some guard on one play, then he'll go out to a tackle and beat him. You know, it's like, you saw the touchdown where Jordan Hill got it, but he like just went around the guy, just pure speed. And then the next play he'll line up against a guard and just like push him into the pocket, into the quarterback. You know, so he's got speed and power.
Yeah, let's just remember that, you know, yeah, you can have one game or two games in the preseason and people will say blah, blah, blah. But just remember, he has dominated in all four games. He's played against first stringers. He's played against second stringers. He's played against third stringers. He's played, you know, the entire AFC West. And there has not really been any slip-ups in his play. It's been pretty much consistent across the board, dominating. So I don't really care.
Shows up a lot.
And they played him to see what they had. And, you know, the fact of the matter is he's taking leverage away from Michael Bennett's contract negotiations because I assume, you know, because last year Michael Bennett, one of his biggest complaints was that he played more, I think, than he expected to, because it was so much more of a rotation. They had Chris Clemens and Red Bryant in 2013. Right. So I suspect that Frank Clark and Cassius Marsh are going to play a lot and Bennett's snaps are going to go down a little bit. And that'll be beneficial. John Schneider's negotiations as well.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, that's just going to be beneficial for everyone, because then everyone's fresher. And like you said, it's just a better rotation and you know, everyone kind of stays healthier in theory, because they're not playing as many snaps. They're not getting as beat up every game.
Yeah.
It's just great. It's going to be, to me, the most exciting thing about the Seahawks this year is their front seven. I mean, you wrote about it this week. They're looking really, really good.
It's exciting. I
mean, hopefully it'll carry on, because that's huge.
Just imagine as well, you know, like, they haven't played with Earl Thomas once. They haven't played with Cam Chancellor once. They played with Richard Sherman for like a quarter. So it's like when they get those guys back, or at least, you know, in week one, they'll have Sherman and Thomas. It's just going to be a whole nother level. But let's talk a little bit about some of the bad games tonight, because there were some bad. Just the fact of the matter is, you know, they're playing against Matt McGloin and Christian Ponder and a bunch of receivers I had never heard of before, and really giving up a lot of passes. That depth in the secondary looked a lot worse today, specifically maybe talking even about Deion Bailey, who I think he didn't have the best game. What did you think of the secondary tonight?
Well, I think the guy who – there's a couple guys that didn't really stand out in a good way to me. One was Marcus Burley. He just – you know, we were talking about this with last week with Stephen Terrell. He's just like one of those guys who's like never made a play, you know? Just doesn't really show up like making big plays. And so his role on the team is kind of in question to me. The other guy who I did not think had a good game was Mohamed Cisse, and he actually, it just came out on Twitter, he's dislocated his shoulder, so Seahawks could probably stash him on the IR now, which I guess is a blessing in disguise for him, because I don't think he was going to make the team if that hadn't happened.
Right.
Obviously you don't like when a guy gets injured, but he could potentially have a redshirt year now if they want him to. And that could be kind of a good thing. I think Ryan Murphy
has
shown up in some negative plays, in terms of he's missed three tackles that I've seen, including two on one play. He's just flying around. He's you know, the Seahawks talk about the Hawk tackle, where it's very much like technical and you like want to make sure you chop your feet and stay on balance when you're closing and all that. And he just kind of flies around and just like flings his body around. Couple times. So I think he's not going to make the team, but he could be a practice squad kind of guy.
Yeah, and hopefully friend of the show Doug McNeil can make the practice squad. You know, obviously he hasn't still got a lot to learn, and he hasn't had a lot of a chance to showcase what he can do, but maybe, you know, down the line there's a chance for McNeil. I thought, well, it's just nice when anyone gets a sack, but Aaron Pinkins had some nice penetration, got a sack today.
He had a good game.
It's nice. Just I wanted him to make the team, because he was sort of one of my guys from last year's draft, and I think that you've been saying the whole time that he's going to make the team, and I'm glad to see that he probably will do that. And maybe, you know, there's a high ceiling there, because we don't know yet what kind of an outside linebacker he can be. Even late in the game, it's always nice to get a sack. Owen Guachem and Jesse Williams combined for a sack. Neither of those guys probably make the team, though, right?
Sorry about that. I lost you for a second there.
Yeah, just talking about how Guachem and Williams combined for a sack near the end of the game.
Oh, yeah, that was great to see. Actually, I think Guachem has shown up.
Okay.
Yeah, he's I don't know if he has a chance to make the roster. He might be like one of those guys that is like the 53rd guy to sneak on.
Yeah.
Just because they kind of like his potential. But he's, I think the last two games, he's looked pretty good. He's shown some things, which is, you know, and I kind of am having a little bit of a change of heart in terms of the first 2 weeks, I was like, no way in hell he makes it. He's like a developmental guy. He'll be like a practice squatter at best. But, you know, he's looked pretty good. I think they probably have to be pretty happy with some of the stuff he's done. Jesse Williams, he showed up in a few plays as well, kind of like pushing the pocket and being disruptive. So they're going to have a decision to make there.
Did you notice, you know, you're talking about great, good play from the offensive line. Did you notice how long the starters were in there and what guys were in there perhaps when that you saw some good, you know, holes opening up from?
I wasn't like taking too many notes on that. I don't think the starters played very long. I think it was a lot of the time it was some of these backup guys. They wanted to really see what they had because I think they know what they have with their starters now. I think they kind of settled on their starters.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to I don't know. I would just be kind of talking out of my ass if I gave you much on the offensive line. I think, you know, I think
talking out of your ass has gotten some people right to the top of sports.
It is kind of one of those sport like you have to be pretty good at it, but I think that just based on some of the runs, I think they really did a good job in terms of the run game, but you know, obviously with the caveat that they're going up against backups, but still
yeah,
positive. So momentum in the run game, I think, is a good thing.
So are you working on your prediction? Is that going to go up tomorrow for your final prediction, or are you
probably going to have that finished tonight? It'll publish first thing in the morning. I'm actually like kind of looking at the roster right now.
Yeah.
Gonna have some changes, but not too many.
Yeah, they got to go from 75 to 53, so 22 of these guys are out. You can probably make a good guess of who 18 or 19 of those guys are, but then there will be some stuff up for debate in that, you know, that little area right there, and I think some guys want it, others not so much. T.Y. McGill, I know you've been thinking about him a lot and that, whether or not he's going to be that one of those last guys on. Any other thoughts just on McGill?
Yeah, I think he's going to make the team. I think, you know, he's a rookie. He's a little bit short, and there's a little bit of concern in terms of kind of how he might hold up against some of these, like, double teams and things like that. Like, things you need to have a really strong base when you're nose tackle. But he's shown up so many times, shooting through gaps, doing the Brandon Mebane thing where he's kind of, like, knocking either a guard or a center kind of back into the running lane and – you know, he's had a couple of tackles for a loss and or hits in the backfield. I think he's made the team. I think I would run with him over Jesse Williams or Wormsley. Although those two guys have both made a case for themselves, I think I'd go with McGill personally.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough decision for Pete Carroll and the rest of his coaches, obviously, to get those last couple ones. And undoubtedly, there will be some guys cut that we're going to hate to see go. Then some of them will be right back on the practice squad. And then even after someone has made the team on Saturday, they could get the news on Tuesday that the Seahawks have signed a veteran that's going to take their place. Yep. So it's all kind of up in the air. But at least I think the starters, for the most part, are all set and they are good. So should be fun. The first game of the season, September 13th, 10 a.m. at St. Louis. So we got one of those coming up.
Get that out of the way.
Sunday. Yeah, so they have three of those this season, and they're getting one out of the way right away. So that was the first instant reaction episode of Real in the Field Goals. A nice little preseason tune-up for me and Danny. And just make sure to subscribe to Real in the Field Goals on iTunes, and you'll get that show every week, as well as our regularly scheduled Thursday show. Sometimes you can't talk.
Live radio, baby.
Yeah, it is actually technically live radio. If you knew that, I'd click in. Yeah. get all of those. And remember, they also have 3,000 NFL mock draft on Mondays, Tuesdays. And Deep Balls with Danny and Jackson premieres this Wednesday, maybe Thursday. Yep. So make sure to look out for that. Any final thoughts? Just give me one sentence. How you feel about the Seahawks right now, Danny?
I just like that they ended the preseason on a high note, and they kind of got that momentum going. So I think, you know, I feel good about how they ended it and kind of hit the ground running once the preseason starts. Once the regular season starts.
Yeah, it was it felt good. And as I was telling Danny, I think the reason that the offense was clicking, hey, Russell Wilson was only in there for like one play. So that must be what the reason was.
Yeah, that's it.
Cam Chancellor, please come back. And that's it. Remember, the Ballard Agency sponsors this show. Danny, do you know the jingle yet, or you want to get a few words
in? Yeah, I'm going to need a little more time on that.
Okay, just remember, everyone, to call the Ballard Agency and tell them that Field Goals sent you. That number, 425-424-3510. All right. Tune in next week.
All right. See ya.